Give it up, give it up, give it up. No, let this one. I gotta actually look up the Yanks and Mets lineup, so crank this song up for a little bit. I gotta look something up real fast. Go ahead. Welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West. So, yeah, this Yankees lineup isn't really worth talking about. Keep the song going. Leading off, Ben Rice. Batting second, Oswaldo Cabrera. This is the one from yesterday with the rain out, right? So they're just going to kind of run it back here. Yeah, whatever. Dom Smith is hitting third. So, what's that?
Is Rice catching again?
Yeah. He's catching. He's catching, yes.
Big story, Yankees backup catcher. Who's
big story?
Yeah.
Ah.
It's not like a third baseman.
No, I know. It's funny you say that. When I saw that yesterday before the rainout, I'm like, oh, wow, they got Ben Rice by the disc. And I know he's got a little background there. But, yeah, I mean, Austin Wells is catching 115 games this year. And Austin Wells is a beast. I think Wells is going to be a stud.
That still leaves you with a lot of games without Wells.
No, understood. I totally get it. So, yeah, if it is Ben Rice, that makes him even more lefty-oriented. I mean, Yankees got a lot. It's funny. The Yankees went from not having enough lefties to maybe too many lefties. Yeah, think about this, you know? I mean, I remember that's why they went out and they got Rizzo and they got Gallo. And there was a minute there where, really, Gardner was pretty much their only source of somewhat lefty power. Now, is it maybe a little bit too slanted the other way? Obviously, Judge is a great balance there. And if Volpe has a good year and Dominguez is a switchy, I mean, that's nice too. But you got Jazz, you got Rice. I don't know how much he's going to play, but you got Jazz, you got Rice. You got Austin Wells, you got Cody Bellinger. Yes, Alf, you grabbing the mic
aggressively. What about Spencer
Jones? Spencer Jones hitting fifth today.
He hit a bomb the other day.
Oppo. Here we go. Am I going to jump back in the...
Oh, you definitely are.
The Spencer Jones. I'm not, though, because of the conversation that I had somebody connected to the Yankees about Spencer Jones.
They're fibbing.
Like him. They're just, as a person, and they like him as a fielder and his speed, they just don't know if he's going to ever hit. So I'm going to lay out of the... You're not pulling me into the... Last year was different.
I'm jumping on the Spencer Jones bandwagon.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And there's really no right or wrong answer, but I am curious with these Met injuries popping up. Nothing catastrophic yet, but enough certainly to perk up the eyebrows and enough for me to say they've got to go out there and obviously at the lowest level, just get a couple of arms, you know, for spring training and maybe if they stay with the six-man rotation, there's some options out there. Do you think, because the Mets took Soto, do you think that there's Yankee fans, a decent percentage that are kind of taking pleasure in some of these injuries to the Mets? Because the one thing that I hate, well, let me, you answer that first.
Yes, I do think. I speak to them mostly on the overnights on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
They'll call in and will be, because they're confused as to why Mets fans are excited about this upcoming season. Which
They're confused? What are they confused about?
Well, they think that this team isn't that good, and I think that's... I get why certain areas of the team are questionable. Like, to be honest, the fact that Manaea and Montas are down, not saying Montas was anything I was ever going to look at more than a...
But he was your fourth starter.
Right. But the
or
fact...
fifth, but
the,
yeah.
Either way, nothing to be like, oh, we're banking on Frankie Montas. But Manaea going down already hurts. And the likelihood of every year going into the opening week, we seem to lose another starting pitcher. Kodai Senga, DeGrom, we've talked about this. Verlander, Scherzer, all those. We lose them the first week of the season.
Yeah.
It's not comfortable to going into the season that with pitching staff, but I think that there is pleasure from some certain Yankee fans that are a little upset that the we got Soto type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think, let's see if the shoe would fit on the other foot. Let's say that Juan Soto was still with the Nationals or with the Padres, and let's say the Mets were still languishing and lackluster, and that massive gap between the Yankees and Mets, which had existed for a long time. It might still exist depending upon how the Mets rotation does, but you know what I mean. Do you think that Met fans over the years took pleasure in, like, maybe Giancarlo Stanton getting hurt or Judge running into the wall in L.A.?
There is
no doubt. Let's be fair.
There's no doubt. All and right, I know I'm not one of those guys, but I know for a fact there's certain Mets fans in this building still that get more pleasure out of the Yankees losing than the Mets winning at times.
Would you like to maybe drop some names out there?
Yeah, Eddie Scazzeri. Eddie Scazzeri loves when the Yankees lose.
Isn't he a big Mets fan?
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, is he a big Mets fan? If that's
but he is. It's Bob Hueschler. But and I love. But
there's
Bob's
no way
his.
Bob Hueschler takes more pride in the Yankees losing than the Mets winning, Mr. Met.
Listen, when we weren't winning, when we weren't going to the playoffs, the best game of his year was the Yankee elimination.
Okay, now hold on. Now that's different, though, Hoff. That's when Bob and maybe Eddie. I'm not sure, like, if that's true. When those guys have nothing to root for tangibly, you got to latch on to something. And if the only thing available is the Yankee pain, you do what you got to do. I don't blame them. I don't think that that's bad. I'll tell you what, though. Rooting for injury, forget about, you know, the Yankees and the Mets, just in general, I can't stand that. I think tempting fate is crazy. It's happened, now he knows, not anymore, a couple times with my son, like if we're watching like the Knicks or the Jets or like, you know, team we want to win, even St. John's, like Creighton had a player go down and he's like, oh yeah, maybe he's going to be out for a while, yeah. I'm like, nah, you don't put that out there in the universe, because do you want somebody doing that to you? Like, you just don't do it. Like, it's going to come back. To root for injury is twisted. I just can't do it.
I don't think anybody roots for injury.
I disagree. I think some people do. I absolutely think. I don't know what percentage. Maybe it's small. Hopefully it's small. I could promise you this. There is not 0.0% of fans who hope. Like, you tell me Jet fans, when Tom Brady would get hurt, they're like, they wouldn't be like, oh, stay down. Some, I hope he's out for the season. Come on. You tell me there aren't a few Knicks fans. Oh, Jason Tatum. I don't even know if they're playing tonight. Twist an ankle. Oh, I hope. Maybe that's his Achilles. I hope he's. I'm not saying a lot. I guarantee it ain't 0%.
No, you're true. Listen, when Tom Brady went out that one season with the ACL.
With Matt Castle, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of Jets fans that were happy and they got theirs.
Yeah, because I was one of them. I just matured. Just as I got older. I don't like doing that anymore.
Yeah, but they got theirs because the Jets didn't do anything that year anyway.
Uh-huh.
So it still ended up backfiring.
Of course.
I think Dove roots for injuries too.
Now you know how much she stretches things.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, Dove, I love you. Hoff, I would say opening the door for Dove to speak. Don't take this the wrong way, Dove.
It's fine. I'm here for a reason behind the scenes.
It's probably not, you know, let's...
I was trying to get Dove a little active, and he checked out on that one.
Well, he was active. He, basically 4 for 4.
He spent a good 3 hours on this airwave today, like listening attentively, and in the past 10 minutes, he checked out.
He did check out a little bit. I know, his mind's starting to wander. So is mine. Is it 2 o'clock yet?
He's eating stew. That's why.
I just want to get to Patino's docu-series tonight. Haven't even watched that, have you?
No, no.
I'll tell you.
But hold on just real quickly. It's not anything to do with St. John's. I don't watch sports documentaries. I'm not a sport documentary fan.
Really?
Yep.
I love them.
Can't do it. They bore the heck out of me.
Really?
I know most of this stuff anyway, so I don't... We live it. I don't need to do another documentary on it.
Yeah. All right. So me and Sal love them. You haven't watched the Rodgers docuseries, Enigma?
Nope. I didn't watch the Jordan documentary series.
You didn't watch that when there was nothing going on during COVID? That's all there was.
I know, and I made sure I didn't watch it.
All right. So obviously you haven't watched, what's the one on Netflix that Sal turned me on? I forget the name, but I watched it. When the Red Sox come back on the Yankees. I forget what it's called.
I know what you're talking about.
I mean, it sucked, but it was good.
The comeback. Yep.
Behind the scenes stuff is so interesting to me. I can't get enough.
Did you watch the Trey Turner standing with the Phillies fans standing up for him?
I did.
Why?
I was interested.
Oh, they stood up. They cheered him. I don't need to know more. That's the problem, is that these documentaries, I understand why they make them.
Yeah.
If you did, maybe you were casual and you really want to know a little bit more. But, like, we watched it. I saw it on Twitter.
Listen.
I get it.
I also, this is, let me be honest with you here. I also And thank God she's cool with it. Otherwise, we, and by we, I mean me, I, would have big issues at home. There hits a certain point at night, and daddy's tapping out. And, like, so especially, like, during busy season, like, if I'm running to St. John's to tape the TV show a game, like, doing the show with Sal and then the game. But right by 8:30 at night, daddy's showered, and the kid's like, you know, all right, maybe mommy's going. Not that I never do homework. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm involved. But, you know, mommy's got a lot of responsibility, too. And by 8:30-ish, daddy's generally flat on his back in bed, not going to sleep for hours, but just mentally recalibrating and checking out of the day-to-day rigors of being a parent. And that's where I kind of jump into some docu-series. That's where I get it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's huge that I get that space. She's amazing with that.
Well, that is good. But I can't. I think I'm either watching live sports or I'm watching UFC fights. Those are two things.
Yeah,
I'm
you
doing.
Love the UFC stuff.
I do. We got to go. 316.
I know. That's at Newark, right?
Yes.
Prudential Center.
Yes.
You going to get us hooked up like I got you hooked up at the Garden with St. John's?
You're a UFC guy. I'll see what I can do. I'll do my best.
You got any juice? Honestly.
Am I going to get you front row? No.
Well, I don't need front row. Wait, hold on. So we're understanding the weakness in the chain now. So Sal got us front row at Saturday night's main event. All right. At the Coliseum a couple of months ago in December. I got you guys front row, and Booney as well, but you guys front row at the Garden, St. John's. You're a UFC guy.
I know. That's a tough one, though. That's
why we did it. So tough about it.
Wow, they only come around once in a while, and the tickets are very expensive.
St. John's courtside seats are over $1,000.
I'm not dropping $10,000 per.
Yeah, no. I didn't pay for them. Otherwise, I couldn't do it.
I know, but these are not going to be freebies. I can imagine that for front row,
like close enough near the cage.
Ring cage side.
Really?
They're that expensive, dude. Last time they were at Prudential, I think they were $450 just to get in the door.
Well, then I got to tell you, then the UFC's a bunch of idiots if they don't know how to. No, they'll take it the wrong way. If they're smart, what they should do is say, BT and Sal don't talk a lot about UFC. Hoff does a lot, but maybe we'll set them up cage side and maybe they'll talk about it. It's kind of business. It's how it goes. No?
We'll see. Yeah. I'll do my best. I will do my best. We'll find out in June.
Yeah, we'll be sitting in those bleats. All right, let me get Jordan in Baldwin. BT and Sal on the Fan. Jordan, what's happening?
Hey, BT, big fan. I love the Red Storm Report. I'm a St. John's alum. I just graduated last year. I wanted to just have a thought and a little story for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it. What you got?
So my thought is I started St. John's in 2020, just graduated last year.
Congrats.
And I have to tell you, thank you. I have to tell you, yep, the energy that Patino has bought, I can tell you right now, I went to the tip for Mike Anderson my first 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, first year was fun. We had champagne and posh. Yep. And, you know, there was some type of energy. Then the second year was like, all right, I'm tired of this. And then Patino came.
Yep.
And BT, that tip off. I cannot tell you, the energy was palpable. And this season, haven't missed a home game. Mm. Haven't seen anything like it. It has been amazing. All my friends, we're at Stout, we're at Sullivan's, we're everywhere. I'll be there Tuesday at Bourbon. I saw your thing on the Jumbotron. I'll be there at Bourbon with Kadari. I'll be seeing that little Chad.
I didn't even know they put
that on
us. Yeah,
they put that up on the Jumbotron. I bumped my friends like, yo, we got to go to Bourbon. We got to go a little throwback. That's the spot. So we'll see.
I like Bourbon. That. Bourbon's a good spot. I was there a month or so ago with a couple of players. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, that's the spot. So I'm happy you guys are doing that. But here's my little story.
Yes.
Last year, my senior year, they did a little intramural dodgeball tournament. So my buddies and I made a team. And funnily enough, the basketball manager has made a team with a few of the players. It was RJ, it was Brady, and it was Sim Wilcher, and we ended up beating them, which was really funny. And those guys were super cool about it. And so then after the game, we were talking a little smack, and RJ actually was like, yo, bring the hoops down. Let's run a little five. And we were like, you know, I think we're going to take a little championship and get up out of here. But I have to end it with this. I'm a huge fan, and I'm so appreciative that you're giving me a chance to talk about my school, and I love how big of a fan you are of the school. I can't root harder for these guys. And, you know, I'm so excited with what Patino has. And I was listening to him on Part of My Take, and I love his take about, like, he's looking for experienced guys. He wants guys that are going to win now because he knows his time frame here. And he's going to get it done with the buildings. Like, I already see it done on campus now when I go back and see my friends. Like, they're doing stuff on campus. As a student, I can promise you.
I can tell you,
he is so involved. So, yeah, I'm really excited, and thank you for letting me talk about my school and my Johnnies. I'll definitely be calling back for March, and I I can't wait to talk to you guys more for Yankees and everything else, BT. So thanks for the time.
That's awesome. That's a great call. Enjoy the run. Obviously, baseball around the corners, no doubt. You know, yeah, I mean, it has changed here, and I actually stumbled upon something this morning. So, and it's not just St. John's. Now, Rick is right. I think some eyebrows went up when he's like, I'm not even recruiting high school kids anymore. Honest, and it's not just because he's 72. It's because things have changed here. Do you know, I'm looking at the top 10 teams right now. The number of freshmen that play starter minutes, which I think is over 22 or 23 minutes a game, on the top 10 teams, Auburn has one, Florida has none, Alabama has one, Houston has none, Tennessee has none, A&M has none, Iowa State zero, Texas Tech one, St. John zero, and the only outlier is Duke, obviously Cooper Flagg and two others. They've got three. So of the 10 top 10 teams, well, of the top 10 teams in the country, one leans on freshmen, and that's Duke. Everybody else is like, nah, we're going portal. We're going portal hopping. That's the way to go. Joe's in Brick. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up? What's up, BT? I love the show, man. Love you guys. You guys are phenomenal.
Thank you, Joe.
A couple of things. I root for the same teams you do. Jets, Yankees, Knicks, diehard. I called during the World Series when Volpe hit that home run.
Oh, that was sick. I was there. I was nuts.
Yeah, it was awesome, you know. And, I remember, well, first I want to say something. Another hater, Loogie. Loogie's the worst. You know that. Loogie's a
Yankee hater. He is definitely, there's no doubt about it.
I can't take the seven stages of grief, whatever he says about Soto. I love what you said. He was a mercenary. He was never really, you know what I mean?
I moved on. Listen. And by the way, I'll let you make your point. Like the Soto stuff, like even when it comes up with Sal, I've moved on. Like, yeah, I wish Soto was batting second this year in front of Aaron Judge. He's not. Yankees made a nice pivot. Yanks will be a playoff team. 90-something wins. Best staff in American League. I'm fine. I've moved on.
I agree totally. And he totally bashes us, says we don't. But I moved on, too. And real fast, if you let me. I was telling you back then, I said, Volpe, my boys play travel ball like you, like your son does. And I said, my sons, they play for the NJ Marlins, Jared Graziano. And you were like, when we were hanging up, you were like, come on, bring it on. Anytime, we'll do it. And I remember you saying, I heard you saying like a while ago that you guys are doing, the USABL, the March, the St. Patty's Day or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, listen. So I went back and I was like, "He's like, tell BT, we'll do it, man. We'll get it together, man."
Are you guys doing it? Because I think it's closed. I don't know. We got a lot of teams for it.
No, yeah, we were already in. We just started bringing in some of the younger teams. I know you said your son is like 11, right?
No, he just turned 10. He's still pretty young. Yeah, it's fun 10, though.
He's still pretty young. So yeah, we started. So Jared actually started going with the younger. He's phenomenal, phenomenal owner. He just opened up a huge place in Toms River. Phenomenal organization. They really do a great job with the kids. They just started bringing in some of the younger teams, and I think some of the younger teams are doing that tournament. It depends. We have two at every level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's doing something really big
Joe,
over there.
You know and it's just, nuts, though, you know. Joe, and I know that you can relate to this, and thanks for the call there, buddy. And I only probe into this because I know many of you can relate to this. Like, yeah, I love it. Like, if it was up to me, I'd be going home. You know me. If it was up to me, I'd go home every day with a practice to take my children to, either coaching or dropping them off. I could do it every day. I'd love it. But even I acknowledge, not all, certainly not casting aspersions on everybody, but, I mean, there's just so many money grabs out there. You got to use your head. You got to know what's good for your kid and what's not. There's so many money grabs. And, you know, I happen to have played whatever, wasn't great, whatever, but I played enough to know what makes sense and what doesn't. But a lot of parents, you know, didn't play high school or collegiately or whatever, and they don't really know what's right. And you just got to find what's good for your kid. And I'd say this, too. I think if you're playing all year, I think you're absolutely nuts. I think you are nuts. Like, if you are a really good 9 or 10, and it's so young, who knows how big the kid's going to be? Who knows if it winds up being his favorite sport? Who knows? There's too many variables, right? All you could do is introduce them to everything and see what they love and see how hard they work, right? Who knows if they stay healthy? But if you have like a 9 or a 10 or 11-year-old kid, and they're a pitcher, and even if they're a hitter, but if they're a pitcher and you're throwing all winter, you are out of your mind. What are you doing? Hey, I'm chasing max velo in January. Brilliant. Good luck with that when they're on the operating table when they're 12. I don't get some of it. I love it. I love the path, and I'm gonna cry my eyes out when it's over for both my kids. But, you know, for those of you who are all in, I mean all in, to the point where there's literally no days off and they're playing no other sports, just reevaluate. I'm not gonna tell you what to do, but reevaluate.
Tag team, back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy. These three words, you're getting busy. Whoop,
there it is. Whoop, there it is. Remember what's going on, Alfie? God almighty, some of these songs. I mean, this one makes me smile. I mean, but... Like, what year was this? This is a tag team, right?
93.
I was going to say 92. This is 1993. I'm just starting college. Like, am I actually driving around with the windows down with this song going?
Oh, definitely. Oh, 100%. Yeah. No question.
I don't know. I probably was. I probably was. BT and Sound on the Fan, 129. 888-1019 is the number. We got a nice little mixed bag here. Some quarterback stuff for the Jets and the Giants. We heard from both Joe Shane and Darren Mucci, the GMs for the Jets and the Giants here, and what they're thinking, what they're plotting out. The combine this week, obviously a lot of options for both men, whether it's drafting a quarterback in round one, moving up, moving back, maybe signing a veteran, Stafford for the Giants, Fields maybe for the Jets. Some of you think that Stafford should go to the Jets. I don't see that happening at all. But there's a lot on the table. Of course, the Met pitching injuries. A lot of St. John's energy as well. Let's get back to these calls here. 888-808-1019. Chris, up in the Bronx. What's happening, Chris? How are you? Chris. Hoff, I want to give him a chance to... We got a problem, or is he not ready? I'm assuming it's him. That's a him problem.
Yeah, that's a him problem.
That's not us issue. I mean, I try to be nice. Get rid of him. Man, so insensitive. Ah, get rid of him. What if somebody said that about you? Ah, Hoff. We do. Mike's up in Poughkeepsie. What's going on, Mike?
You were talking about I was watching biography last night of Andre the Giant.
I saw that about a year and 2 years ago. Yeah. Yep.
And Bob Uecker was in there, and he was getting choked by Andre the Giant, which I had forgotten all about.
Frenchie
was in there. And he doesn't watch documentaries, but I had forgotten all about it. And by watching that, I remembered.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I learn stuff. I enjoy it. I do have an addiction to these. I got to stop this. Even last night, my wife said, you got to stop with this. Like, and she really never tells me, like, what to watch. But she's like, you're getting a little overboard with this old wrestling stuff here. I can't get enough of these WWE shoots. Last night, I found a great one with Bobby Heenan. One of the most fertile minds and most amazing mic workers of all time. You know, not to mention when Bobby would get in the ring, Bobby would flip upside down, and he was very theatrical with the weasel outfit. Bobby Heenan, legend. Love him. And I just stumbled across this shoot where he was dishing on everything old school WWE, and I just get down this rabbit hole. And then I'm like, oh, let me see what if I could find. Then I see the Honky Tonk Man. And it's like a three-hour shoot. And then it's split up into different segments. Honky Tonk Man shooting on Macho Man Randy Savage and Elizabeth. I'm like, I got to watch this. Before I know it, it's like 9:40. Yeah, she's right. I do have to. It's been mass consumption the last couple of months. It's getting a little bit nuts. Definitely on a wrestling kick. Nick is in Connecticut. What's up, Nick? How you doing?
Good, BT. How are you today?
I'm doing great, buddy. What's happening?
All right, man. I'm glad to get to talk to you. You're a great guy. You do a great job on your show. But enough of that. I just wanted to talk to you about UConn real quick. I live in Connecticut, obviously. Uh-huh. Huge UConn fan, but I was raised a Giants, Knicks, and Yankees fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I already told my 16-year-old last night, I don't like this Knicks squad. I think they're out in the first round. Thibodeau's gone, and they're going to try getting Hurley. I don't think Hurley's going to go, and here's why. For the first time ever, UConn has 3 All-Americans coming next year. Okay, they will be back in the top 10 next year.
Mm-hmm.
And and his wife's from Jersey. I'm not quite sure if Hurley is. You might be correct, probably there. He's probably from Jersey.
No, Danny's from Jersey. Danny's from Jersey City. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd love to see it, but I just feel like he's going to fail miserably, like you said yesterday on your show, as an NBA coach. He wouldn't make a good NBA coach, I don't think.
I think he's too intense. He'd have to adjust. Now, I think he's smart enough to adjust, but part of Danny Hurley's greatness is the intensity. And you just can't flow that way in the NBA. You just can't be that way. Forget about 82 times a year. You can't be that real in practice. It's just not going to work.
They won't respond. You're coaching guys that don't want to be told what to do opposed to coaching kids, you know?
Yeah. And to me, and I appreciate the call, to me, the NBA would be so unappealing for somebody like Danny. I don't know. I mean, outside of satisfying that challenge and seeing if you could do it, I thought for a while Coach K was going to try it back in the day. I thought for a while Tom Izzo was going to try it. I never really thought Roy Williams was going to do it, or Bill Self, or Mark Few. I'm trying to think of some other coaches. Brad Stevens obviously gave it a shot. Rick, of course, has done it. You know, I feel like the NBA is completely counterintuitive to what Danny Hurley's about. Now, do I think that if this doesn't go well for the Knicks, and you know where I stand on these Knicks, that Tom Thibodeau's gone? I do. And I think, depending upon if it were to flame out, like if they just keep getting mopped and they give up 130 and 140 points a night to the elite teams and it's a quick ouster in round two. And I even think that they could lose in round one, depending upon the matchup. Like, I don't think it's completely off the table. I hope not, but I don't think it's impossible. If that happens, Tom Thibodeau is going to be out of a job. And I think at that point, it would probably be justifiable. It would be time for change. And if that's the case, where are you going? I don't know. I mean, rather than going the Danny Hurley route or trying to get him, I'd probably try to trade for Spoelstra. Do something like that. But I don't really know. Now the next, Robinson, I think, comes back this week. I think he's going to play this week for the Knicks. They got to get their act together. The Knicks are a mess. They're a mess. The Knicks look broken. That's the problem with the Knicks. Like, I'm okay with, I even said yesterday, let's call the reference some of the things I was saying about the Knicks. I think it's foolish to overreact in the NBA on the air. I'm not saying you can't fire off a tweet where you're pissed off, whatever. But, like, to get on the air and just rip a team for a rough night in the NBA when there's 82 of them and there's just so many circumstances, whether it's injuries or disinterest, I just think that's a waste of time. I don't even feel like doing it. Like, that's not really interesting to me, and it's not really smart to me. So I haven't done it with the Knicks. I've given you hints since the first week. I read the tweet that I had in November where I'm like, something seems off. I know it's early, but that was the first warning flare. And then, you kind of get into December. I don't like what I'm seeing. January, now February, I'm going to let it rip. And when you're getting bamboozled by the Cavs on a Friday and you're getting punched in the face 39-18 in the first quarter on national TV against the Celtics, who mop you every game, yeah, I'm going to be pissed off. And yeah, I'm going to think that there's a lot wrong. And to me, the Knicks are broken. And if Mitchell Robinson can't put the pieces back together, then I do think there's going to be major upheaval this offseason. I do. And I like Tom Thibodeau. You don't get a lifetime job, lifetime pass, though, for the job. Not when you build for a championship run. 888-808-1019 is our number. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the calls. Call of the day. We'll wrap it up. Get you till 2. Then it's Evan and Tiki coming up on the Fan.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
All right, today's call of the day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Montas is much longer, and you listen to the Mets and Mendy. It's more musculature.
Not sure what musculature means.
I mean, why do you play the idiot?
Musculature.
He's not playing.
Yeah, that musculature. I've never heard that before.
Well, maybe you should battle Evan for the L in a cell instead of Sal.
I could do that. I'd win.
Well, I got a question. Would you and Sal combined win?
Yeah. We know more than you think. I just don't know what musculature is.
Musculature is just, yes, I guarantee it's a word. How it applies to, you know,
you
to the injury.
Sentence.
To, but I'm not sure either, but I'm going to go with musculature.
Musculature.
Actually. It is musculature. Oh, what was that?
That was Dove being creative.
So it's a real word.
I know that, but I'm
he didn't.
Musculature is a word. I just found it.
Oh, these guys, I'll tell you. See, the sad thing is that Hoff is not really playing the role of dope. He's naturally dopey. Sometimes he's brilliant and sometimes he's lost. It's a very interesting combination, Hoff. There you go. There you go, boys. All right, good job on that, guys. BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's get back to the calls hammered out. Evan and Tiki coming up next here. How about Arthur in Yulan? I believe it's Yulan. I have no idea where that is. Arthur, where are you at? Where is Yulan?
Yulan is in Sullivan County, up by Monticello.
Oh, so you're up there a bit. I got you. All right, Yulan, so it's a different, not Yulan. Gotcha. What's up, bud?
Yeah. I was just talking to Hoff before about, you know, maybe the Knicks are better than you think because they learned from last year. They put 120% into every game, and they got tired, obviously, towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're locked into the third seed, and they're saving their energy for the playoffs.
I mean, I think that's an incredibly overly optimistic way of looking at it, Arthur. I don't see that at all. I just see a team that can't shine the shoes of the two teams in front of them. Now, granted, the Knicks are good. The problem is they're not good enough. No. Now, I'm not saying that there's never been a team, maybe even go back to, like, COVID, that, you know, that wacky bubble setup where, you know, you kind of coast a little bit. But there's just certain games you got to show up for. And now, there's just too much evidence that these Knicks look different than they were a year ago. And I can't buy into that myself. How about Julio and Patterson? What's up, Julio?
Hey, what's going on, Tierney? I want to make this point, and I want to get your opinion on it and kind of expand on it a little bit. Like, in New York City, you win with stars. Like, you know, I'm 47 years old. The 86 Mets were my first team. This Mets team can't assume that just because they got Soto that they're done. Like,
no,
there's so much more to do. If you're going to spend $300 million, why not go another 10% and make sure that you – because, I mean, I wasn't trusting Montas before he went down, and that's a lot of innings that we've just lost. They've got to go all in.
I agree. Now, the good thing is the Mets lineup, the Mets offense should carry them enough where, you know, they're not going to drown. They're not going to have an 8-17, I don't think, 8-17 April. Like, they'll be able to survive this. And I think Manaea is going to be back, you know, much, much, much sooner than Montas, which is good because he's also much better than Montas. But I don't like the staff. I don't love the staff. The staffs, I don't love it.
No, they need a real, like, they're lacking the top level. Like, the guys, look at the Dodgers. Look at that. Like, this is the only standard that the Mets have to live to is, can we compete with the Dodgers? And if you look at it, sure, they can hit. But, I mean, the Dodgers have a lot of hitting, too. So how are you going to stop Mookie and Freddie and, you know, Ohtani? And Ohtani probably, you know, and be it, have him as, like, the seventh in the depth chart as a starter. Like, where do the Mets have that level of quality?
Well, I'm not so sure that they do, which is why I like the Mets, but I don't love them the way maybe some others do. I think the Mets are good. I think anything beyond that is a little aggressive at this point. Doesn't mean it's not going to come to fruition. You know, Juan Soto changes a lot. And, you know, if Lindor's locked in, if Lindor from the final 3 months of the postseason shows up in late March and he's that guy that, you know, for most of the season, between him and Soto, I don't love having Pete bat third. That's the way it looks like it's going to go. I don't love it myself. I wouldn't do it, but I think Pete is going to have a good year, certainly better than a year ago. And, you know, I'm a massive Vientos fan, but there's questions. There's questions. What are you getting from second? What are you getting from center? What are you getting from Nimmo? Is Nimmo healthy again? What are you getting from Alvarez? What's the rotation? And listen, there's questions with everybody, really, except the Dodgers. Even the Braves, who I think are better than the Mets, have some questions. Like, is their pitching? They low. I mean, Max Fried's on the Yankees to start, and they got some injuries, you know? So I just think that baseball is incredibly, I mean, this is not exactly breaking news. I think baseball is incredibly unpredictable. You know, you really just don't know. You know, think about Guys, think about where we were a year ago pertaining to the Mets, all right? And then I'll weave in the Yankees in a moment, but I don't want to always just fuse the two. That gets old there after a while. But last year at this time, did we even mention Iglesias' name? Honestly, I mean, I saw the little blurb. Oh, wow, he signed minor leagues. He's in Syracuse. All right, and I remember for the Tigers. I knew he could pick it. I knew he was, a pretty good player, but I'm like, he's in the minors. Well, Iglesias, whatever. I didn't even think about him. No Met fan did. Maybe Evan brought him up on the Rico. I'm sure he did. But, mainstream, no. So Iglesias was not ever discussed. He was a central part of the season. Iglesias, what, he had 400 at home? It's a Mets record. All right, so then you get to Manaea. Now, I liked when they signed Manaea. I didn't love it, but I thought, when they signed him, I'm like, okay, good. Fair contract, some depth, certainly more front of the rotation than back, some innings, some good stuff. But then he basically completely overhauled his windup, and he went from, to borderline ace. So Manaea was a completely different discussion point at this point last year. At this point last year, and I was part of the hype as well, me and Sal, what is Alvarez going to crank 30 home runs? How good is Alvarez going to be? He basically did nothing. So, we missed the boat on that because he was hurt, and then he just slumped, whatever. What else? Pete had a really down year. 88 RBIs and 34 home runs, whatever it was. Sub OPS, down. Now, I never thought Pete was getting that crazy contract. You know that if you listen to the show. But I would have thought that he would have had those numbers by late August, quite frankly. It's what he finished with. And now we'll bring the Yankees into it. And then you look at last year's Yankees. And, Luke Weaver, he wound up being the closer. And he's not the closer now. Devin Williams is, which is good. But Luke Weaver had a lot of influence on the season. Last year, Gerrit Cole around this time. When did he get it? When did Cole go down? Yeah, I guess around that, whatever. Just to push it forward. I didn't know what the Yankees would be able to do without Gerrit Cole. Their rotation was what kept them afloat to start the year. Because Judge was awful in April. And Luis Gil, who, we knew, I wasn't really counting on him. Rookie of the year. What I'm saying? So you just don't know. Even Austin Wells, who had two great months where he had OPSs 940 and 930. I think that was July and August. Yeah. But I liked his potential. Dude was batting fourth at one point on a team that got to the World Series. You don't know. We think we know. We don't really know. I guarantee, maybe not as many, but there's going to be at least two. And Vientos with the Mets, too. We start the season in the minors. At least two unexpected stories develop favorably for the Mets and probably negatively for the Mets. And I'd bank on two things that you expect to happen good for the Yankees, maybe don't. And then two things you're not sure about, do. So it's going to flush out over 6 months of ball. Let me get Rich and Kendall on. What's going on, Richie? How you feeling today? Rich. These phones are annoying me today, Hoff. I think that was our issue. That was an us problem.
Nah, he decided to hang up. I'm going to blame it on the callers. Can't always blame it on us. We're always going
to
be here.
Well, I'm always quicker to blame it on somebody else other than us.
I know that.
Well, you earn it. You walk into the... It's not even like... Though, we don't want to do this here.
He's had a good day up until now.
He's been rock solid. He has been rock solid. So, Dove, what was your first day here? 87, right? Was it the first day of the station?
Correct.
Day one.
A week before, actually. We had meetings a week before.
I mean, that is amazing. And I'm not clowning you with this. I'm going to throw this out for serious. Now, Hoff might clown you. I can't prevent that. We've got the Steve Summers break room, right? We've got a nice plaque for Steve.
You're trying to get rid of me?
No. But, you're not going to be here for 20 more years, I don't think. Neither will I be here for 20 years. So we've got, and I'll definitely have no plaques. So we've got the Steve Summers break room plaque. We've got the Mark Chernoff newsroom plaque. We have nothing for Beningo, which is ridiculous. That's just unfair. That actually bothers me. We've got the Mike Francesa studio, which you wouldn't know that because the sign is ripped down again. I didn't do it, Mike. Sal didn't do it, Mike. It should be up. That bothers me as well. Now, I don't know what we're going to give you. Probably nothing. But, like, if we were going to do, like, some little engineering aspect. You and Eddie Scazzeri, actually.
So we'll see what happens when Eddie steps aside in a year or so.
Yeah, is it definitely? Is that, that's what he said,
that's
right?
That's what he says.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually have a good idea for Dove.
For Dove?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the kitchen, there's where you hold the paper towels, like a closet.
Mm-hmm.
That should be where Dove's plaque goes.
All right, why?
Because he steals paper towels every day.
No, he doesn't.
Look, every day he walks in here with fresh roll of paper towels.
Yeah, are you really diving him out?
Nobody else puts paper towels in the control room, so they do it.
Okay, so you have access to the paper towels and you go around and find them.
You can bring it here.
I know, but you're obsessive over it. It's a little too much.
Being clean is important.
listen to these two guys. Now, wait. I always got to be clear here. Does he take it, use it, bring it back, or does he take it home?
Oh, no, no. He takes them and brings them into this control room.
I know that. But then does he take them home to save money?
No, he's not like other people in the past who got caught on camera stealing Nespresso.
Oh, the coffee stuff. Yeah, I remember that. I forget who it was, and you don't have to say, but I do remember when that happened. Who?
Steve.
Steve who?
Summers.
Was he really?
Jeez.
How's Steve doing? Did you talk to him?
I haven't seen him in a while, but last time I talked to him, he was great.
He was hard on you, wasn't he? Wasn't he tough?
No, he was good. He was all right.
Nah, Steve was tough on you guys. You like Steve? Not a bad way. Steve knew what he wanted.
He knew exactly what he wanted.
But if Steve didn't get what he wanted, it could get a little uncomfortable, no?
No. Steve was great.
That's not what you tell me off the air.
Right, exactly. That's off the air.
Oh, man. This place really is a circus at the end of the day. 30 lunatics trying to piece together life. That's really what WFAN is. 30 or 40 lunatics, however many people we have here. Oh, man. How's Tiki's car doing? I heard Tiki had a little flat.
I don't know. You told me that.
Yeah, I'm saying, how's it doing, though?
He's had flats a lot with this car, I feel like.
He has.
Yes.
He has.
Yeah. What type of car is this?
It's not a cheap one.
They need to get just flying cars so we can avoid the flat tires.
Those are coming.
That's a bogus excuse.
They're coming. Now, I don't know how high they're going to be off the ground. Like, we're not going to be up in the clouds. Like,
just a hoverboard type of thing.
Well, they're coming. Can you imagine how sick that'll be?
And dangerous.
Oh, this, I'll leave it to you to always...
You're going
to
crash into each other and fall down from the sky.
Better than sitting in traffic. All right, it's time to go. Oh, God, my shoulder's killing me, man. I thought an impingement was such a wuss injury. It's really not. God. All right, so Sally is on his way back from Disney, and it seems like he's making it back in one piece. He's off the rest of the week. Surgery tomorrow, so good luck to Sal. I'm back solo. We've got Evan and, I think, Marash to start. Eventually, Teak with the tire. Once he gets through that, Evan and Teak, he's coming up. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. I'm sure Loogie's going to still say the Knicks have dudes and dogs, which they don't. And a little Yankee hate as well. Have an awesome Monday or Tuesday. Pardon me. See you tomorrow at 10. Have a great day. Bye-bye.